The number one MMA organization in the country starts the year off with a bang. With the biggest show ever. Maximum Fighting Championship number 36. Reality Check. Live February 15th from the spectacular Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Canada. Two world titles and the two best heavyweights in the country. In the main event, one of the most exciting fighters in the world today. Edmonton's Mukai, the African Assassin Moromo. Faces in a rematch the relentless Graham Spencer. To see who will be the first Canadian to ever hold the MFC World Lightweight Championship. In his first title defense for the MFC World Middleweight title. Bosnian knockout sensation. Elvis the King Mutashik. Versus reality show and Team Quest standout. Smiling Sam Alvey. And in the most anticipated heavyweight bout in MFC history. The top two heavyweights in the country collide. When Mike the Honey Badger Hacker goes against Albania superstar. Smino the Prince Rama. Making his debut in the MFC. Newly signed Phenom. Spider Killer Jay Silva and hometown standout BJJ and judo black belt Luke Hayabusa. Harris faces his toughest test when he meets the explosive American Jason Zencraft. Live Friday, February 15th from the Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Canada. And to get tickets, go to Ticketmaster.ca or the MFC hotline 780-504-2024. Why settle for anything less? We're number one for a reason. Live only on Access TV, your home for MMA.
Welcome to Full Guard Cage Fire Radio, episode sort of 12-ish, 1-ish. Hey, let's get Matthew in here. Everybody needs to start their own fire. Everybody needs to riot of their own. Everybody needs to be something that they are not. Everybody needs to go it alone. Living so free as a dragon. Hey, dude, how's it going?
Hey, it's going very good, man. What was with that Full Guard Cage Fire Radio, man? I don't know about all that now. This is Full Guard Fight Radio with special guests from Cage Fire Radio, but oh man, I don't want to give her more credit than she's due.
It's kind of a reunion of sorts tonight.
I guess so. Let's go ahead and bring her in there. I know she's probably getting tired there with she's been up early in school.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
What's going on there, Caitlin?
Hello, hello. What a good reunion.
I guess so,
Caitlin. Yeah. I know you missed me a little bit.
I don't know if I go that far, but hey, what's going on, Caitlin? How's it going?
It's going good. Slow week this week. What about you?
It's going good. I've actually been the opposite. Been quite a busy week, but as always, I am psyched, ready to go, missing my partner, Jason, but I know he's got some work stuff going on this week, and we'll definitely be excited to get him back next week. Before I even get going with anything, I want to say thank you again week after week to our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, GatorMMA.com, and GatorMMA in general. Check them out. It's a no-contract gym. You won't be regretful there. It'd be a great time. No contract, no turn away. They ask for like $60 a month, but if you can't afford to pay, they'll work stuff out, and they won't turn you away because of money. It's a great gym. Great things going on there, and just big thanks to all they're doing for me and helping me out and the cross promotion going on between them and us here at MMA Madhouse. So love that.
I've noticed a lot of gyms are being more willing to like help people afford their training other than throwing down a price, and if you can't pay it, you go away. Have you noticed that recently?
Honestly, no. Out here in this area, outside of Gator, there's not really any other places like that. A lot of the gyms around here that do MMA-type stuff, or whether it's karate or jiu-jitsu, a lot of them are very traditional, which there's nothing wrong with because the tradition is how we've gotten to where we are. But with that tradition comes or other kind of like fine details, you know, contracts, very particular and different things here or there. I don't know of many gyms or of any gyms other than Gator, at least in my area,
that are
very open and willing to work with people on whether or not they can afford to pay or if they do or don't have a gi. Now, you know, that's not to say that there isn't. I just am not familiar with them. So I know.
Interesting.
I know the ins and outs of Gator. I know what they stand for, and I honestly don't think there's a better gym anywhere in this area. So.
You have had a lot of fighters on Cage Fire Radio when you host on there and on this show from Gator. Have you interviewed or have you had almost every fighter on there or in there on a show?
Yeah, for the most part, the majority of the guys, I spend day after day with them. I'm in there Monday through Friday, you know, training, getting ready, just learning the martial arts.
And you're not planning on actually doing a fight, are you?
Not fighting, but I'm competing in March at COPPA. It's going to be my first tournament, and from there I'm going to begin competing probably at more and more jiu-jitsu grappling tournaments, COPPA, NAGA, New Breed, different stuff like that, the Gator tournaments when they put them on. So I'm going to be competing and doing some submission grappling, but no fighting. I'm not getting my pretty face punched.
Oh, jeez. How about if I get mine punched, will you get yours punched?
If you let me punch yours.
Oh, wow, that's mean. How about if I get in the cage, you get in the cage?
As long as it's against each other.
Well, that's not fair.
I don't know. I'd like to see if you get in the cage, then I'll consider it. Let's put it that way.
No. I want an answer,
want
like yes
blood.
Or
you
no.
Like, you want my signature in blood that I'll be in the cage. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Anyways, I probably wouldn't get in there either.
I do have some pretty cool news down this way. Ethan Lionheart Blevins, the phenom, the little 7-year-old wonder, this week got picked up and sponsored by Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, which are big friends of MMA Madhouse and do a lot for us. And I think that's a huge thing for them and for Ethan and really for the progression of the sport of MMA to have the best mouth guards on the planet sponsoring somebody who's going to be the best fighter on the planet one day. So that's pretty awesome. Ethan's got some big-time sponsors. You know, Ethan's got a lot going on. If you don't know of Ethan, if you're not too familiar with him, you can check him out at Facebook.com, Ethan Lionheart Blevins, Lionheart's one word. And he's competing a lot. Fear the Fighter makes it possible for him to compete. The Kids of MMA also are sponsoring him. You know,
wow.
Madhouse, we get the pleasure of being his number one media source, number one media sponsor. So, you know, Clinch is helping his mouth guards. Kids of MMA and Fear the Fighter are helping him with tournaments and helping sponsor him to be able to compete more often. And MMA Madhouse is proud to be his number one media source and just the number one firsthand outlet for anything about little Ethan Lionheart Blevins. The dude is a tough little beast. Jacob the Bull Brown, who, you know, Madhouse is also quite familiar with, he's actually going to be coming down here, I want to say next month in February, I believe.
Where are you going to go see him?
Down here. He will be spending time actually right here at Gator training with Ethan. That's his sole purpose of coming down here, so him and Ethan can train together.
Holy cow, these kids today are so good. Jeez.
It is. There's an army of them. You can see, I mean,
There's been an uprise in the last 6 months of just kids in MMA.
There is. It's really the first true generation of child fighters and MMA fighters, and obviously they don't fight as kids, but they're training and they're, you know, it's the first true generation of mixed martial artists from a child's age, and that's awesome. That's going to create such an even better, higher level of MMA and more evolved MMA come like 10, 15 years from now.
I know. Can you imagine watching UFC in like 30 years, seeing all these kids growing up for 20 years or so?
Phenomenal. There's great outlets out there, you know, Kids of MMA and Future Fighter, who are doing great things for the kids at MMA. You know, there's another girl that lives here locally, Caitlin Meathook Kelly, and she's quite a phenom herself. She's like 8 or 9 years old. She comes in from time to time and trains with Ethan. She trains out in Odessa, Florida. I forget the name of the gym, but her and her parents will come by, get her every now and then, and train with Ethan. And it's awesome to see these kids get together and train because they're future stars. You know, obviously, you know, being such a young age, you never know if they're going to continue in the sport because, you know, from the kids I've met, none of their parents would ever force them to do anything or to stay in anything. But if these
but they
kids,
choose to.
You know, yeah, exactly. Daniel Blevins hardly ever actually has to tell Ethan what to do. Ethan just knows. His discipline is remarkable, and it's the same with a lot of these kids at this young age when they're taught these martial arts. Martial arts are probably the best thing you can get your kids into. I wish my parents had got me into it, but I'll definitely give my kids the opportunity, and as long as they're interested, I'll, you know, let them do that because martial arts is just a phenomenal thing. It's a great way to teach discipline, teach respect and sportsmanship at a very young age for these kids, whereas other sports may not necessarily do that. You know, I played soccer as a kid, and I've played sports my whole life, but
yeah, it's just a different mindset when you play. Like, I think just this different aspects of team sports versus individual sports, it gives you a completely different atmosphere and different values to look for and search for.
Absolutely, but yeah, we'll promo this fight I was at Saturday a little bit. I won't get too much into it because we should be getting a call here soon from Rafael Garcia, one of the promoters from the World Class Fight League. But I was out at the World Class Fight League this last Saturday at the Hilton Doubletree in Tampa, and it was a phenomenal night of fights. Supposed to be 14 fights on the card. 13 of them ended up happening. One guy I was in really excited to see fight, Andrew the Ghost Gonitsky, just wasn't able to fight. His opponent didn't show up, but still a bunch of great fights. And, you know, with that being said, we got Mr. Rafael Garcia in the queue with us, and we'll get him ready to go. So how you doing tonight, Ralph?
Good. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, man. I actually was, you know, this is, we got a special co-host tonight, Caitlin, who I formerly hosted a show with. My co-host Jason had some work issues and couldn't be here tonight, so Caitlin's filling in with us. So I've kind of, you know, let her know about the man, Ralph Garcia, and kind of all that you got your hands in down here in the Tampa Bay area. But was actually just starting to talk about the fight card this last Saturday and how awesome it was, man. So let you take it away, man. It was a great night at World Class Fight League.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming out, too, both of our shows that we've had and supporting us and then doing the write-up afterwards, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. My recap of the fights should actually be going up sometime tonight. I sent them in the other day and just kind of we do that. I try my best to do that every fight card I go to. You know, I want to give great coverage. I want to let the promoters, you know, in this situation, you know, you and Dwayne, I want you guys to know that, you know, we're out there doing the best we can, supporting local MMA all over the place. And I love the World Class Fight League, two events and two of my favorite events that I've been to. So already excited about this March 30th card. What do you guys got going on for that card so far?
Man, huge. Well, we're supposed to have the two fights at the 170 that we had Saturday. We had Omar Short from Gracie Bar Orlando versus Jafar Fort Knox from SPMF. And the winner of that fight was supposed to fight the winner of Maurice Graham from Frontline versus Bentley, Michael Bentley. And that fight had a no contest because of an illegal blow. So we never got a clear winner on that. So what I would like to see is maybe a rematch between those two, or at least have Maurice come back and fight somebody else or the other way around. And what we did instead in that place, we had Ladarius ready to go. He wants to fight 170, so he jumped right in there when we said title fight, man. Ladarius is 5-0, rogue, exciting fighter. He knows how to draw the crowd. And so I'll have him fight Omar Short from Gracie Bar Orlando in the main event, March 30th, for the 170 World Class Fight League title.
Yep, and Ladarius has not stopped talking about it. He's psyched. Training with him a little bit last night, and he's an exciting dude. He is a main event fighter. He is a main event personality. So that dude's got a huge career ahead of him, Ladarius. So I know.
He sees the bigger picture. What I tell all these guys, especially that's one thing that a lot of organizations don't do. I've been in this game a long time. I fought. I've cornered people. I've had guys fight in the big shows. I've commentated. I've had my own radio show for a while too. I've done TV stuff. So every aspect of this game and now promoting and matchmaking, I've done on this card. Except for the only thing I haven't done is ring announcing. I leave that to Dwayne. Dwayne's way better at that than I am.
he does do an awesome job. He's my favorite ring announcer that I've seen, that I've been, you know, had the pleasure of seeing live. He does a great job. I know the two of you guys wear many hats. You guys are all over the place. You know, I was there 3 or 4 hours early for the fight Saturday and just kind of like hanging back, watching. I love seeing that behind-the-scenes stuff of what goes on, because a lot of times when you're sitting at home watching fights on TV, you're just there to see the fights. You know, you don't really think about what's going on before the fights, what's leading up to the fights, what the promoters have to go through to make sure that the fights, everything gets done well and everything goes right. So you guys are some hardworking dudes. I know for the – you guys were nonstop moving around the Hilton there for the entire – probably most of the day.
Yeah, and that's how it is. I laugh when I go to shows, or I've been a part of shows where I've helped people, and the promoter is supposed to be the hardest working person to me, because it's your show, but you're not there to really enjoy the fights. You're there to make sure everybody's having a great time, that the fighters are taken care of, and everything's going through the way it's supposed to. So you're working the whole night. But I've been to shows where I've gone, and these promoters are sitting there before the first fight, already sitting down in a chair close to the cage, drinking their beer or alcohol or whatever, having a good time. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not how you do this. You got to work. And then afterwards, then you can go ahead and have a beer afterwards. So, like, for example, we finished closing up and putting everything away about 2:30 in the morning. And then I say about 3 o'clock, 3:15, I had my first beer finally. And that was only because we got beer ahead of time. And just in case we weren't able to go anywhere, because we were supposed to do our after party at the Kennedy. They had us a couple tables and three bottles and all that. And we could not make it out there before 3, so there was no way. So I said, man, I have to have at least one beer. So I had a couple beers, and we sat there and brainstormed and did everything, what we did right, what we did wrong, until about 6 o'clock in the morning, man.
Wow.
If I can jump in real quick, by being on every aspect of this game and seeing every point of view, what position of this game have you learned the most from? Like being a promoter, a radio host, doing all these different aspects, which area have you learned the most from?
I think I've learned a lot from every position, like you were saying, different hats. And just because I think it helps me relate to everybody I got to deal with. When I deal with fans, I already know how to deal with fans. I've been a fan. I am a fan. When I go watch UFCs, Bellators, whatever, I like, you know, this is how I like to watch fights. I don't want to be, you know, too far away. Or if it takes me too long to get alcohol or food, I'll get upset, things like that. So I know how it is to be a fan. From a fighter perspective, I know how it is to be taken care of in the locker room. You want water, and we go extra. We give our fighters fruits like bananas and apples and things like that, make sure they're taken care of. A lot of times fighters, you know, a lot of fighters don't make money, so a lot of times they need extra tickets and things like that. We take care of them with that. It's, you know, every aspect of the game, when it comes to management, I give these guys advice. Like I tell these guys, the only one that came in the cage on Saturday that had that whole it factor was Darius, because Darius, right away, give him a mic. He's right away going for the crowd. He's talking to sponsors. Yeah. He's giving his shouts out. And that's what I tell these guys. I go, all these guys, I give them the mic. And they're like, I'd like to thank my place where I train. And all right, anything else you want to say? How about your opponent coming up? Good luck. And I'm like, no, you guys got to build this fight up, man. That's how you get sponsors.
Yeah.
People want to be interested in you. If you can't talk, you're never going to get these sponsors. So you got to build that fight up. You got to be out there talking, and that's what we're doing. We're helping these guys with interview skills, and we're also doing promoting. So before the fights, we have video footage of guys. We put them up on our worldclassfightleague.com website, and you see fighters on there doing interviews, doing training. We're giving them exposure. Guess what? Now when you go see a sponsor, you're like, hey, I'm going to fight on this card. Well, really? Well, how do I know you're legit? You look at my video. And you can see their video. They built up for the fight. They got posters. They got flyers. Now someone's more likely to sponsor them than if you just tell them, oh, I might fight this date, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like you have an absolutely outstanding program over there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And like I said, for me and Dwayne being in every aspect of the game and really caring, because I care everything I do, my business, I have world-class martial arts that I've been training fighters and doing martial arts for 15 years this October, and here in the Tampa Bay area. And I've also, you know, I've taught for other people. I've helped other schools. We've done cross training and stuff. I'm real passionate about what I do, about the martial arts and about the mixed martial arts. So I want to see it grow. And I think we're missing that here in this area. A lot of up and coming fighters, but they have no place to show their talents. So I want to give them a place, not a place where you go and there's like a little bar, and then you do a couple fights here and there, and it's crappy atmosphere, and there's fights afterwards. I want to give them something professional so they know what to expect when they go pro.
Yeah.
Right on. Now, the fight, you know, obviously you guys have a lot, there's still a lot to do on the fight card for this March 30th event, but right off the bat, and even though I got some teammates fighting on that card, the fight that most excites me right now is Andrew Gonitsky versus Ryan Brenson. That fight was supposed to go down.
Those guys actually did a good job building that fight up too, man. It was funny because we're in the cage. Both these guys, I think Andrew's 6'5", 6'6", and then Brinson's like 6'7", 6'8", or something. They're staring off, and this whole cage is full of people, and they're about to go at it. It looks like I have to be the one. I'm only 5'7", and a half, 5'8", to jump in between these two monsters to try to break this up. I'm like, thanks, guys.
Now, there's some I don't want to say bad blood, but there's some bad feelings. And these guys are going to bring an exciting, exciting fight. You know, this fight was supposed to go down this last weekend, and just some things came up, and Brinson was unable to fight, I guess.
Yeah, Brinson broke his foot, I think, was it a week and a half out before in training. Freak accident happens. Same thing happened to that new kid that had a big build-up, too. A lot of fans were there to see him, Emmanuel Sierra, who's going to fight our next card, too, also March 30th. He broke his nose 3 days before. And turning his freak accident, and there's no way he could have fought. You know, his nose, he had a black eye, his nose was still bleeding, you know, that same day. So,
yeah. Oh, man, like, let's, you mentioned the world class martial arts and the stuff that you've done over there. You said, like, I think you said, like, 15 years. I mean, what do you guys teach down there? What do you guys, what's your mission down there with the world class martial arts?
I want to have my fighters, when they go out, I want them to be prepared. I want them to be well-rounded fighters that wherever the fight goes, they're looking to finish, whether it be wrestling, whether it be jiu-jitsu, catch wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, Taekwondo, whatever it is, they're going to know what they're doing out there, and they're going to be ready to finish a fight, whether it be by knockout or submission. I try to tell my guys, don't let it go to the judges unless it happens, but if you do, make sure you dominate the fight where there's no questions asked when you finish that fight.
Yeah. That was a
perfect
evident
example, because you saw the fights. Luis, Zakira, Jesse, Baker, and Blake Smith have only been training 8 months, maybe 9 months each.
Wow. Yeah, I was just going to say, but with that Jesse Baker fight, Jesse Baker fought Jeremy Christensen out of Gator, and it was a debut for both those guys, and you really couldn't have told that by watching the both of them. I thought they both, for a debut for both fighters, I thought both guys looked comfortable. They looked confident in themselves in their game, and I really feel like they put on a very good fight for two guys that were making MMA debuts.
Yeah, they did, and that's what, when I match these guys up too, it's funny. Everybody tells me sometimes they're better than some of the pro fights they've been to, and it just I try to match them up evenly, man, where it's going to be an even fight back and forth, which is exciting for the fans. You know, sometimes, you know, guys come out that you think are going to be better than what it's going to be, and then it becomes a boring fight, or it's a quick knockout or something. It just happens as part of the sport. But for the most part, I think most of those fights were pretty close, and the fans were happy with the excitement.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference in decision fights. You know, you can have decision fights that are boring as hell, or you can have decision fights that are exciting. They got a lot going on, lots of action. And, I mean, there was this card ended up having a lot of decision fights, but there was not one boring fight. I mean, the just from top to bottom, you know, it's unfortunate with the way that the Michael Bentley and Momo Graham fight ended with the no contest. But, you know, other than that, the other 12 fights, very exciting. You know, you have a few finishes there. Obviously, Mundell's finish was huge. James Garza, a guy we'll have on at the end of the show tonight. I've seen him fight twice, and both times he's won with some very nice submissions. So,
yeah, I've actually cross-trained with Garza because he trains with my jiu-jitsu coach, Dave Hurley. And Garza's a beast, man. I've seen him come a long way in the last year or so, where he went from, like, being real sloppy and just throwing crazy punches and not having good submissions to a kid that goes out there now and he's looking for the finish. And if you go to the ground with him, he's going to take your arm home or your leg or your neck. He's going to go for something, and he's going to make the referee have to pull him off.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got, like we were saying with Ladarius and building fights, he's got a personality, man. The guy shows up to the fights wearing Dragon Ball Z shirts, big smile on his face. He's just a great personality and somebody who I think's got a pretty awesome future in the sport.
Yeah, and I tell these guys too, man, you have to be able to go out there and market yourself so you can sell tickets. If you're not marketable and you can't sell tickets or people don't want to come see you, you're not going to get on any pro cards, man. You have to be able to bring people to come see you. That's how you build a following.
Exactly. And that's another thing that's big with you guys at the World Class Fight League is that pro promoters do come out to your fights. I mean, you had just at World Class Fight League 2, you had, you know, Joe Valdez from the Real Fighting Championships out there and John Prisco from the Extreme Fighting Championships, which are two, you know, the RFC's, what, Tampa, I believe Florida's longest running pro promotion, and the XFC, XFC's, you know, out of Tampa, and it's a pretty good promotion kind of all throughout the southeast of the United States. So, I mean, people pay attention to your fight
cards. You know what's awesome about
that?
Both those guys hit me up after the show, and they both told me the same thing, that this is the most professional amateur show in Florida right now, or in this area that they've been to. And, you know, that means a lot coming from guys that are running pro shows for years like that. It's successful, you know?
Yep, absolutely, man, absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, man. What do you think Fight of the Night was?
Fight of the Night, I thought the first fight with Curtis Burt and Anthony LaPrinzi was a great fight. I thought those guys were banging.
Like about that fight? Those guys both brought it. But to me, because it went to decision, I thought both those guys had way too much energy after that fight because they had a dance-off. I think both those guys should have left it all in that cage, man.
Yeah, that's a, I was just thinking that too. It was a great fight, but yeah, and Curtis, another one of my teammates who, I was surprised because with the amount of punches he was throwing and the amount of knees that LaPrinzi was throwing, I was quite shocked watching those two guys dance it off. I'm like, man, these guys, either they're just that beastly or like you said, man, I think they should have left it all in the cage, but that was quite amusing, the dance off.
Entertained the crowd. That's all that counts. But the fight of the night was the 125 title fight between Nate Van Dam from Frontline, Abby Velasquez from Gator MMA. Both those guys were so fast and nonstop movement for all three rounds. It was unbelievable.
I was just going to say either that one or the Chris Harp and Dominic Tominelli was a pretty awesome fight, too. I love watching two heavyweights stand and bang. I think they spent maybe...
And not just that, for three solid rounds, those guys were trying to kill each other.
Yeah, I was going to say for that 9 minutes of fighting, I want to say maybe they spent a minute on the ground at most. But other than that, they were just standing and banging, throwing... Tominelli was landing some vicious kicks. I've seen him fight a couple times too, and that guy, I can't wait to be watching that guy on the big times one day. That dude is a beast. I want to see. I've said this to Gonitsky a little bit, and kind of talked with my co-host here in the past. But my dream fight for the WCFL is Andrew Gonitsky versus Dominic Tominelli for the heavyweight strap. I think that.
If they both look impressive, fight. The next fight, because I want to bring up. Dominic back down for March 30th also. And if they both look impressive in that fight, you know, the next one in May might be for the strap, for the heavyweight strap there. You never know.
Yeah, that would be awesome, dude. We talked with Gonitsky last week, and he's just an awesome guy. I talked with him a little bit over the weekend at the fight.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He'll tell you exactly how he feels. He doesn't hide anything, and he tells you right from the heart, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
I think submission of the night, I had it as a draw between – at first I had Garza winning that. With the submission he had, but then Mundell in the main event, you know, pulled off that guillotine, which I didn't think he had anything, and he caught him. So I mean, I had like a draw for sub of the night between those two guys.
Yeah, that's a tough call too. Mundell's was so lightning quick, like you said. I didn't realize he had anything, and all of a sudden Murphy's tapping, and I'm like, wow, you know, that was like a minute 15 or a minute 41 or something like that. That one, and a minute 15. And then that Garza's submission was awesome. Very good, very great fights there, man. The verbal submission though with Zakara's fight, I believe, that was pretty awesome. Verbal submission due to strikes. You know, Zakara had to be laying in heavy for that guy to, you know, verbally submit.
Yeah, I thought that fight should have been stopped a little sooner though. I thought, yeah.
Overall,
but I'm going to start working on the card for March, man. We're about 10 weeks out. I'm going to start working on it probably next week, man. And I'm going to start, you know, calling these guys up and bringing a lot of these guys back. And everybody came up to me afterwards and was like, man, bring me back in March for sure. So definitely going to start working on that and matching these guys up to see, you know, which fights are going to be more exciting. Because every show I try to undo, outdo myself from the last one. So.
Oh man, I appreciate you calling in tonight. Before we let you go, you know, any shout outs you want to give, man, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys just hit us up on worldclassfightleague.com. We also have a Twitter account that Maria runs for us, which is World Class FL.
At World Class FL.
Okay, that's what it is. See, I don't even mess with the Twitter stuff. I'm so already stuck on Facebook that if I had Twitter, I would never have time for anything. if you guys want to check us out, Tampa Good Training in the Tampa area, you can pull my school up at worldclasstampa.com. I got so many websites in my head right now. So worldclasstampa.com if you're interested in doing any kind of training, mixed martial arts or traditional martial arts here in the Tampa Bay area.
Right on,
and
man.
Always a shout out to our main sponsors, Wolfpack Martial Arts Supplies, Burton Gonzalez, always backing us up, law firm. Let me think who else? DNC, Discount Nutrition's, NFV, No Freaking Excuses, and Penthouse Gentlemen's Club. So those are our main sponsors right now. And the Biz Blabber. I don't know what we thought about that. Biz Blabber was very, very happy with the results they got from all the people coming up and all that. And plus, we had a sold out house. So.
Right on, man. Yeah, standing room only in there. There were people hanging out in the lobby trying to just peek in and watch, man. It was a great night. So. All right, Ralph.
Yeah,
man,
we were
great
happy.
Having you. Fun talking with you guys.
All right, thanks for having us. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem, man. Big fans of you and Dwayne, man. So we'll talk soon. We'll be in touch and be excited about the World Class Fight League 3 card on March 30th.
Awesome, man. Anytime you want us on, let us know.
All right, man. You have a good night, Ralph.
You too. See you guys. Thank you.
All right, all right. Caitlin, you still with me?
I am with you. Man, he sounds like he runs such a great promotion. Like, I'm a little jealous, you know. Sounds like you get to go to some sweet shows out there.
Little jealous that you're on the other side of the country.
Well, yeah, and besides the fact it's, like, sunny, like, 2 days out of the year here, I mean.
It's pretty cold here right now. We've had a pretty cold for the last week or so. I'm actually, I think I'm starting to get sick here from it, so. Need to put a hoodie on or something.
What is it, like a cold 60 degrees there?
Oh, whatever. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, okay. It's probably around, like, 60 degrees. No, it's been pretty chilly. Like, legitimately, like hoodie.
Like the hair standing up on your head, chilly?
I'm not saying I'm busting out the beanies and the freaking snow jackets or anything here. Like, I'm calling into work. Like, I can't come into work today because it's 57 degrees. So, let's just relax, all right?
Oh, that's interesting. This guy, he sounds like he's got so much going on all the time with all the stuff that he's running. It sounds like he's got media outlets, promotion, his fighters. Like, that's crazy. I can imagine managing all that stuff and doing it successfully also.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a great night. Man, there's so much going on. We got a packed show tonight. There's so much I want to talk about. So real quick before we jump in with Mike Rios, some big news today. Matt Hughes retired, made his retirement official, which is something I think people probably suspected for a while. But he's a guy I've never been a big fan of, but he's Matt Hughes kind of helped MMA in general when it was kind of coming through the dark ages of MMA, and he was kind of one of those early guys when Dana and Zuffa and the Fertitta brothers took over. Hughes was kind of one of those guys that helped the sport transition, and it probably wouldn't be, if not for guys like Matt Hughes, Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, the sport probably wouldn't be as successful as it is right now, because the sport came through many years of some real dark times. You know, it was pretty blacklisted and outlawed by anybody and everybody, and if it wasn't for some modern-day heroes like these guys who were able to help the sport transition and prove to people that it's not some bloody, you know, barbaric bloodbath of men, two men killing each other, you know, that it can be honorable, respectful, sanctioned fights. Probably sport wouldn't be as successful as it is today. And, you know, the UFC is obviously the poster child for the sport's success, but you look anywhere and everywhere, there's MMA fights. You know, you got from your local scene to more and more on TV right now. You know, I'm sitting here doing this show as I got Bellator on behind me, which just came on Spike, and Spike's been another big thing, but for MMA, but guys like that, I think, help the sport transition into the modern era of what we know as MMA, and, you know, what we at Madhouse do, what we go out and cover, and I think a lot of this wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for guys like Matt Hughes, who kind of helped the sport in its infancy. So it's you never like to see a guy like that retire. Like I said, I was never a big fan, but Matt Hughes is a legend, no doubt. And he's going to be – I didn't see his exact title, but he's going to be doing something like fighter development for the UFC, going right into a to work with them and going to help kind of train and develop young fighters that are coming into the UFC. So should be an awesome thing for him to stay close to the game. So I wish luck, the best of luck to Matt and everything he does, you know. But and we just got so much going on tonight. Yeah, it's awesome having these shows. There's so much I always want to talk about, and we've got like all kinds of awesome guests lined up, and it's just it's a great job. It's a great free job. Madhouse is number one. I love being a part of Madhouse. So, and I guess it's all right having you on here tonight.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you missed me this much to have me on your show. You know, I never thought I'd have to thank you for having me on your show, too.
Well, you're going to.
I probably will. At some point tonight, I will thank you for having me on your show. Maybe at some point when people can't hear me or something.
I do real quick want to give some quick shout-outs. I got some major events coming up over the next month. I'll be at a bunch of fights. The next one on my horizon, which you can you'll be looking for for an article from me really soon, is going to be the Florida Combat Challenge 4, which is on February 8th. That's going to be at the Tilted Kilt in Clearwater, Florida. February 10th, the American Battle Championships will be here in Tampa, Gasoline Alley. I'll be out there. February 15th, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale for Fight Time 13. That's always a great time. They put on a great fight out there. And that's my birthday weekend, so me and my girlfriend are going to spend the weekend out in Fort Lauderdale and go see some fights and then go have the best chicken wings on the planet over at Duffy's Sports Bar, which unfortunately is only located on that East Coast. And it's about a five-hour drive for me, so I don't get to eat it very often. But when I go to Fort Lauderdale for the fights, I always squeeze in some Duffy's. But
wow, and how old are you turning?
27.
Wow, that's old.
Yeah, well, that's old.
I'm just kidding.
Twice your age, right?
No, thank you very much. It's only 9 years older than me.
Hey, let's congratulations are in order for Caitlin. She's going to be going into high school next year.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations,
Caitlin. I appreciate your compliments.
Listen, before we start rabbit trailing here and we get into our next interview,
why don't you put our next guest on?
I'm trying to talk about some local MMA. I don't know if you
know
about it.
Oh, my bad.
MMA.
Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot this is your show.
Yeah, it is. Very good. I'm glad you're aware of that. This is not our show anymore. This is my show.
Okay,
if
I'm sorry.
If my co-host Jason was here, he would know how to behave himself professionally. But
oh, really?
I'll give you a break. But no, after that, the big fight card, February 22nd, the American Battle Championships is actually going to be here in Newport Richey, which is kind of where I'm located. And that fight's going to be partnered with Gator MMA. So I know that Daniel Blevins, TJ, Krista, a lot of the team out at Gator is really pumping up that fight, and we got a lot of fighters interested in that. That's going to be a huge fight card right here in Newport Richey for families to come out to. I think they're going to do an honoring ceremony there for local teachers and firefighters and policemen, so should be a great night of fights. The ABC, which actually just had a fight card on Monday, they packed their fights. They're talking, on an average fight card for the ABC, you're looking at like 20 fights, so should be a great, great night. For 20 fights, hopefully it starts at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or else we'll be there until the sun comes
up. Wait, how many fights did you say?
They typically pack about 20 fights onto a card.
Ooh, I went to a fight a card that had about 20 or 21, and that card went to almost midnight, and it started at like 7 or 8. Oh, man, that was a long night.
Yeah, the
WCFL. They need to start those shows at like 5.
Yeah, the WCFL had 13 fights and one like little 10-minute intermission, and they started about 8 o'clock and it ended about 12:30, 1 o'clock. So
I know it's hard to pick when to start your shows just because like you don't know how the fights are going to turn out. So
yeah, well we got our next guest here in the queue ready to go, so we'll go ahead and bring him on here. He's Mike Rio. Pretty sure people are familiar with Mike Rio, so let's just bring him right in. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How's everybody else doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Glad to have you on.
Thanks, man.
So
Mike, do you want to get it started?
Go ahead, Caitlin. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show tonight. I'm a guest host tonight, so I'm also very honored to be on the show. Real quick, if you want to give a bio of yourself, where you're from, where you train, things like that, for people that might not know you as well. So if you want to go ahead and do that real quick.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my name is Mike Rio. I live in Miami. I've been fighting for about like 6 years, and I've been wrestling past that back when I was in high school and college. I was on Tough Live 15, and I just finished having my first UFC fight, so, you know.
Wow.
Pretty much summed it up.
So how did that debut go?
The debut went well. I mean, it was a tough fight, and I ended up pulling the armbar out in the third round.
Wow. So how did that UFC debut compare to your AMI debut and your pro debut?
Well, UFC was just it's so big. It's like our Super Bowl. So it's like just being there, being surrounded by that the main show that puts on MMA. They're just being there, so organized, and all the guys you watch, Dana White, all the main guys you see on TV, all the fighters that you watch every single fight. Now I'm like rubbing elbows with the guys, and I get to warm up with them in the back and see what all like the main fighters in the world do. And it was just like an honor just to be involved in the whole situation.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So do you want to talk a little bit about your experience on TUF? And you were under Coach Cruz, right?
Yes, I was under Cruz.
How was that?
TUF wasn't exactly that. It was tough as hell, big time. my season ended up being the longest season ever filmed, which is the normal season is 6 weeks long. Mine was 13 weeks. And
yeah.
The hardest part about it was when they took your phone away and you had no communication to the outside world. I mean, I've wrestled in college, and I've done the whole 2-a-days, 3-a-days, where literally your life consists of nothing but athletics and your sport and training every single day. So that wasn't that big of a deal to me. The fact that I couldn't like call my mom or find out how my family's doing, or you know, 13 weeks gone, anything can happen. So
yeah,
I was a little bit of a Debbie Downer.
So in the end, though, it was worth it, though.
Oh, yeah, 100% worth it. Would I do it again for 13 weeks? I don't know. 13 weeks, I'm not really sure. But, yeah, I would never take it back. I'd do it again, most likely.
Yeah. So I found when I was actually – I researched you a little bit before the show, and I looked up something interesting, and I saw a skill breakdown of you, I believe, on your UFC profile. And I thought it was really interesting that they gave you a 33% in every single aspect that made you, like, a perfectly well-rounded fighter.
I think that was the base. That was the base they gave everybody that just starts off in mixed martial arts, and then they start building your statistics as a UFC fighter of, you know, how many takedowns you get, what's your striking percentage and stuff like that. So.
Okay, because I was looking at it, I was like, wow, this guy is, like, perfect all around. And then
I want to do a little bit better than 33%. I'm trying to
get. Yeah, I was like, so also I saw that you had one loss and it was by decision. Does that like haunt you that you have one loss by decision?
That's just funny. She's like, does it haunt you? Like,
really? No, I mean, I just thought, like, you got, you know, KO with everything else. I just want to know how bad, does it haunt you?
When she said, like, haunt, I'm trying to figure out a way to answer it with, like, some goriness behind it. No, it sort of does haunt me because I don't have the unblemished record. I don't have that goose egg behind me anymore that I really, really liked. But it was a situation where I wanted to push the envelope and see what I was actually really made of, and fought somebody that I wasn't ready to fight at the time. But you know, to test your limits, you gotta push yourself to your limits, and I pushed myself to that one, and I wouldn't take that back either. I learned so much from that loss. I wouldn't take it back.
Well, I'm glad you learned something from it, though.
I gotta say with that statement of yeah, I mean this guy. That loss comes to a guy who's quite the veteran. I mean, you're talking 24-plus pro fights. So, I mean, that's, as you said, you know, whether it's, you know, taking something that maybe you weren't ready for at the time or whatever, but I feel, I mean, was it like a great, I mean, I don't know how to put how to word this. Was it a real good way to kind of like determine where you were at in your career at that point by fighting somebody who was such a veteran of the sport?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he had like 20 something fights, and I had I think a total of 5 or 6 or something like that total fights. I never did any amateur fights, so it's like I've total my entire fight at the time was 6 fights. I didn't do any amateurs, and I went in there and gave it 100%, and he didn't knock me out. He didn't submit me, and we went to a decision. And for me to have 6 fights, knowing that I can go toe-to-toe with a guy like that at six fights in, you know, it really showed me how tough I was and how hard my chin was because, like, apparently I could take a hit.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I mean, that's you've got – I can see that you say you were in Miami at the moment, and you've got a few fights under the CFA down here, and I know the CFA is kind of monstrous, their
yeah.
mass promotion here in Florida. So coming off that Ultimate Fighter 16 finale, kind of, I mean, is there anything on the horizon for you? You got any possible fights? You talking with the UFC on what's next for you or what's going on?
Well, my manager right now is keeping in contact with Joe Silva, and Joe Silva says that the UFC right now is kind of a little bit booked. He doesn't like an actual booked fight, not like I just jump in 2 week notice or something like that. An actual booked fight, I might have to wait till April. So, you know, just
okay.
It's whenever they can fit me in. You know, there's guys that say yes to fights, but then something happens and they have to pull out like a month before or whatever, you know. And if I can get in earlier, I personally want to fight anytime after mid-March. That would be my perfect timeline. After mid-March, April, I would love to be fighting.
Right on. Now, you fought before doing the UFC. You know, you were on Ultimate Fighter, and then your Ultimate Fighter 16 finale fight was obviously in Las Vegas. But outside of with the exception of that fight and with your third fight, which was in Costa Rica, all the rest of your fights have been down here in Florida, and it seems that you've fought with a few different promotions here. And I know Florida has, you say you didn't do any amateur, you just went pro. I guess my question is, like, how did that happen? Because I know Florida's got some weird rules when it comes to the amateur stuff, some rules I'm not a fan of by any means. But I know Florida says anybody who wants to go amateur has to fight 5 fights or something before they go pro. So to get into the pro game, did you just kind of, like, jump out there and say, I'm here, I'm a pro fighter, and let's go? Like, I mean, how did that happen?
Well, when I started fighting, they didn't have the forced amateur rule. It was just like, if you wanted to be a fighter, you fought. There was no, you know, amateur in Florida was technically like street fights, like backyard street fights, or, you know, you do like kickboxing or Naga tournaments and stuff like that. But after a year and a half, 2 years after I had my first pro fight, then they implemented the whole amateur, you have to do 5 fights and blah, blah, blah. But there's always loopholes, and you can always find a way around it. So if any of the young guys in Florida that don't want to do 5 amateurs, they just leave Florida, fight somewhere else, and you're automatically a pro because you've already fought a pro fight, and you come back and you bypass the whole 5 amateurs, which I kind of don't like that. I think the guys should do their 5 amateur fights because I know a lot of amateur fighters that want to fight, and they talk about fighting, they train every single day, and they have like 1 or 2 or 3 fights amateur. And then they end up quitting and saying it's not for them. But, you know, at least in the amateur, you don't get as hurt, or there's not that big of a situation to where you can, like, you know, really get hurt really bad, you know, because there's no ground and pound and stuff like that. You're technically learning the sport more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think, well, there's some fine details of the amateur rules that I don't care for. The experience of doing your amateur fights, I think it's phenomenal for a fighter's career. You got guys who will do the 5 amateurs and then jump pro. You've got guys who will hang around in amateurs for a while to really get developed and get experience, like a South Florida fighter, Charles Rosa. He fights out of ATT, just fought at CFA 9 this last weekend. I want to say he put up an amateur record of like 16-1 before going pro, and I think that's going to do amazing things for his pro career by having that much experience. But some guys you know, like a guy, somebody like yourself who didn't do the amateur, went right to the pro, has obviously had big success. You know, the only loss coming from a guy who's kind of a, you know, he's got 24 fights under his belt. So, you know, it's kind of like some people do it, some people don't. But I think for you, at least, you know, it's worked out pretty awesomely. I mean, 9-1 record is pretty awesome. You're in the UFC now, got probably a big horizon ahead of you. Sky's the limit, I would say, for a guy like yourself, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I personally try to see as positive as possible, and I want to be as forward driven as possible. A lot of guys are like, "Oh, you're in the UFC, fights are going to be harder." I see that as a drive to push harder. You know what I mean? Some people look at it negative. I look at it positive, and thank you for just giving me a lot of confidence to just what you said, so I can go out there and, you know, really push my butt off big time, just so I can do even better. So.
Right on, man.
If I can jump in, can you talk a little bit about the process of how it was getting onto TUF and how it started off? And because I think a lot of fighters, especially ones that are listening, they aspire to be in the UFC and want to go to TUF and all that stuff. So do you want to talk about the beginning, like maybe the first couple weeks of it, and how it was like a dramatic change for you?
In the show or actually trying out for the show?
You can do both.
Well, trying out for the show, you send them your information and you go and you do the tryout, which they have you do striking, they have you do grappling, and if they like you from there, they send you to the interview room, and if they like you from there, they bring you back, and they just keep on, they bring you back like once or twice to do your medicals and stuff like that, and then they narrow everybody down to like the, what is it, 32?
Mm-hmm.
The 32 guys, and then they bring you back for the last time. This was the hardest part. They bring you back in for my season. For previous seasons, they lock you in a hotel room. You're not allowed to talk to anybody at all. The only person you're allowed to talk to is call room service so they can bring you food. You're not allowed to walk around the hotel. You're not allowed to talk to any other fighters. You're stuck in a hotel room for 2 days. For my season, we were stuck in the hotel room, I think, for 9 days.
Wow.
And, yeah, in the hotel room, and you had to call the production room to let them know that you wanted to work out and what workout time do they had available for you. So what did you want? Did you want to take you down to the treadmill? Do you want to take you to the mat room? Whatever you want to do, but you couldn't talk to anybody, and you're secluded, losing weight and training in a hotel room for 9 days, preparing for the entry fight to the house. And we're in a hotel room watching TV, and technically the only thing on TV is the food channel, and it's kind of hard to watch the food channel when you're losing weight.
I can imagine.
It's like, dude, I was watching Man vs. Food all day long, bro.
Oh, gosh. That's probably the worst show you could watch.
Yeah, the trying to lose weight at the same time was terrible. But then, you know, they take you in, you fight, and literally after you win the fight, they put the microphone on you, and you say, you're in. Get ready, we're going to take you straight to the mansion. Right when you get to the mansion, it's like a kid in a candy store. You just walk in, you just want to see everything. You're just walking around everywhere. I literally was like walking around looking at all new stuff, walking around doing all the crazy stuff. Like 3 days in, I was still walking around the mansion like, cool, look at this picture. This is where this guy was, blah, 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 this and the other. And it was a great experience just to be in the house and be surrounded by the cast I was with. Because all those guys were there to fight. They weren't there to, like, be on TV. They weren't there to, like, hey, look, I want my 5 minutes. No. All those guys were there seriously to fight, so.
So, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left with you. And before we get to wrapping up, I actually am just reading something online here. And I kind of want to shift the conversation a little bit. But I'm reading here that you're kind of a big advocate for autism awareness, which I know is kind of a autism speaks is a huge thing. Autism awareness is huge. I think it's probably at so many great things are being done for autism. You see lots of commercials. You see lots of marathons or telethons being held for it and stuff. I mean, what kind of activity and participation have you had in autism speaks and autism awareness?
I made wristbands that say Mike Rio Wolverine on it, and I give them away for any type of donation you want, 50 cents, a dollar, $10, it doesn't matter what you want to donate, and I donate 100% of the proceeds to autism awareness, and I think since we started, I think we've donated over $1,000 already, selling the wristbands and stuff like that. So, you know, people donating, I turn them. Yeah, my little brother Steven, he's autistic, and he's the one who gave me the idea to do it. And I was like, you know what? You're a genius. And I've been doing it. I've been doing it with him, you know, selling my wristbands. He promotes me. I promote him. And, you know, and we just try to, you know, give back as much as possible and try to help out. You know, I've done career days where I went to an autistic school, which did K through 12th grade. And I did a career day and just came in and talked about fighting and talked about, and I showed them some moves, the less harmful moves, but I still showed them some moves. And I was supposed to do an autism walk. Like literally I left to go to Vegas for Tough like 3 days before the walk. And I couldn't tell anybody I couldn't go to the walk. They were like, Mike, come to the walk. Mike, come walk. I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And I wasn't allowed to tell anybody I was leaving because they didn't know I was on the show yet, you know?
Yeah.
So I try to be active as much as I can and give back and donate as much as I can.
That's very, very admirable. I have a lot of respect for people that that do things like that, that give their time, give, you know, like you say, you created something, you created the wristbands strictly for the purpose that your brother gave you the idea and to kind of help raise money for such an admirable cause, man. So much respect for that, and it takes a big person to go outside of themselves and go above and beyond to help a cause, and that's a very admirable cause, man. So much respect for that.
Thank you so much, man.
But we kind of coming to the end here, man. I want to give you time for sponsors, any thank yous, any I love yous, any where people can find you, Facebook or Twitter, man. So why don't you go ahead and give all your shout outs.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest shout-out, of course, is going to be to my teammates and my schools, Den Jiu-Jitsu, and my teammates and my coaches, man. They go through everything with me. They go through everything with me with the training and everything like that. So those are, I want to give them a huge shout-out. And, of course, friends and family and fans and stuff like that. But if you want to hit me up or look me up or any questions, you know, Twitter me, tweet me. Or that's how you say it, tweet me. Mike Rio MMA, simple to find. And Facebook, it's just Mike Rio. Instagram is just Mike Rio. And, you know, or you can email me anything you want. My email is RioVersusTheWorld@live.com. The versus is just a VS. So, you know, I'm more than happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Right on, man. Well, thanks for being with us, Mike. We'll be looking forward to following you and looking forward to what's coming up for you here in the future. Looking forward to hopefully seeing a fight for you around that April or May time, man. So best of luck with everything you got going on, man, and we'll be following you closely.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, man. You have a great night.
All right, you too.
All right, Caitlin, you still awake?
Yes, I am. That was a great interview. Props to that guest.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. As soon as I saw that that he does a lot for Autism Speaks, I had to bring that up. I think that's awesome.
That is so cool. Like, I think it's so awesome when especially athletes promote things like that for like foundations and programs and all sorts of things like that to a bigger audience. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I think it's cool, you know, that his brother, he said, I think one of his younger brothers has autism, and I think that's really cool for maybe to him to experience with his brother. You know, they get to probably go out and do these things together and hand out those wristbands and raise money for the Autism Speak. So that's awesome. Like I said to him, it's I have a lot of respect for somebody who does that. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was a good interview. It was a very good interview. Seems like a real cool dude, real chill dude. I'll be looking forward to seeing him fight sometime soon. So hopefully they can set up a fight for him over the next couple months. You know, what did he say, April or May? So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I see something going down that around that time. So, we got a few minutes here before we get our next guest on the line, Killswitch Kathina. I love the nickname Killswitch. You were saying it before.
I know, right? That's such a cool nickname. I want to know how she got that.
I'm just sitting here looking that up, and she's on Twitter at Killswitch MMA. So.
You know, I'm just thinking, how does somebody get the name Kill Switch?
Well, there's
you
a
know?
Band, Killswitch Engage, so I'm wondering, one of my first questions is going to be, does it have anything to do with the band? Yeah, it's I want to say like a heavy rock, like a metal band. I'm not really positive, but they've fairly popular band for a few years. I don't know much or anything about them, but I would assume that name has to be somewhat related to the band. Maybe she's a fan, or maybe she just simply saw the band name and went, "That's awesome, you know, that's badass. That's my fight name now." So,
or she like turned on some switch and like kills her opponent right there.
Somehow I doubt that. I don't think she's killing any opponents. Maybe
no, I don't mean literally.
Kill, maybe not so much a physical kill. I don't think they really do that. Did you miss my conversation earlier about MMA not being a bloodbath for people to die? I mean, come on.
Okay, it was a figure of speech there. Okay.
Pay attention, Kaylin. I would have hoped that. Well, you're like, you got to be close to 20 episodes in at Cage Fire. Like, come on. You know.
Yep.
I would assume, you know, you've picked up some sort of radio knowledge by now.
I absolutely have. That's why you're not my co-host anymore.
Yeah. that's why it is. Oh, man. Are you supposed to be like, wow, thanks for having me on tonight. It's such an honor.
I did. I said I'm very honored to be on your show tonight when that guest came on. Did you hear that? I snuck that in there.
I don't think I remember that, no.
Well, then I guess you better listen to the replay.
I listen to the replay on how great I killed all the interviews so far.
Oh, okay.
While we have a couple of minutes, I want to give shout-outs to our sponsors, of course, BrawlBase.com. CrossroaderClothing.com, GatorMMA.com, and GatorMMA. Check them out here in Port Richey, Florida. Contact Daniel Blevins on Facebook, or you can just go to Facebook, GatorMMA, and check them out, see what they're all about, you know. And then same with BrawlBase.com and CrossroaderClothing.com, both companies that are doing awesome things for local MMA and MMA everywhere. So check them out. I like to always give a shout-out to GFL.TV. I don't know if they would be considered an official sponsor, but they do promo our show every week. And I think that's pretty awesome of them. So I'd like to give a shout-out to them. They've got constant stuff going on there. You can go check out. They've got two MMA events going live tomorrow. I'm sorry, one MMA event and a boxing event tomorrow night. Saturday, there's a wrestling event and a boxing event. And all these are broadcast live through GFL.TV, where you can usually purchase one of these things for $10, $15 even. So this one here, Ring of Combat, showing that it's going to be free, so, you know, check it out. You can't beat that, man. Sit back. You can watch UFC, you can DVR UFC and watch it anytime you want, but the local MMA isn't as easily accessible, you know, so to have a website like GFL that kind of helps you out, it's a big thing. And BrawlBase.com, like I said a few minutes ago, they're doing awesome things. They actually hooked us up with our next interview, Kathina. I don't want to butcher her name, but I believe it's Kathina Catron. They actually hooked that interview up for us tonight, so we want to give a special thanks to BrawlBase, and we'll make sure to give them a shout-out again before the end of that interview, and we're looking forward to that interview here in the next couple minutes. I love talking with the female fighters. I've been talking with Jason, and we got some ideas on stuff we're going to be doing here over the next few weeks at Full Guard Fight Radio, and having a full female fighter show is one of those ideas. I want to put together three or four female fighters to have on one week and just strictly talk women's MMA. I love women's MMA. I think it is awesome, and I think it's not even reached crawling yet. I think women's MMA has barely even begun to crawl, which is
really I wouldn't think differently from that.
Well, hear me out though. The reason I say that is because I believe that the potential for women's MMA is so enormous that even the amount of success that they've had, women's MMA has had so far with Invicta. Invicta Fighting Championships is the number one reason for the success of women's MMA. The UFC sees that, knows there's money to be made, so now the UFC is jumping on the train to do women's MMA. But still, Invicta is the number one source for women's MMA. They're the absolute best. The XFC down here in Tampa, they do a lot for women's MMA. They're adding a lot of women fighters lately, so big things for women's MMA. And I only say that the reason I say that is because there's such a huge capability for women's MMA that I think that it's still in its infancy, which is, I say, in the highest of respect and the highest of compliments, because I think that women's MMA is going to go far and it's going to be huge. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump in with Kathina. So how are you doing tonight, Killswitch?
I'm doing good.
first and foremost, where does the nickname Killswitch come from?
My coach actually gave it to me. I didn't even realize I had it until a couple of my friends that had went to my first fight started screaming Killswitch after I won. And and I was like, what are you talking about? And they
said, Killswitch. That's awesome. We were sitting here debating it, kind of wondering. I know there's a band with Killswitch in the name, which I'm not familiar with the band at all, but I wondered maybe if that's where it came from. But that's a much cooler story by your coach giving you the name. So before we go anywhere, you know, who is Kathina? You know, what's your background? Where do you fight out of? And what's your current record?
I fight out of Battle MMA in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I'm actually from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. It's the heart of Cherokee Nation, right in the middle of. And right now I'm 8-0. I was 5-0 as an Emmy, or 6-0 as an Emmy, and I'm 2-0 as a pro.
So what I saw from your amateur record, I saw that you had 5 TKOs, and as a pro you had 2 submissions. Is that, did you plan for that to happen, or is that just how it happened?
No, that's just how it happened. Like, my first 5 fights, I was real good with my hands. I didn't have to go to the ground because they finished with my hands. And then my first 2 pro fights, everybody was worried about my ground game. People that they would match me with, everybody was saying how bad I needed to work on it and everything. And then I just won both by submission, so it just happened that way.
So when you go to train for a fight, do you train specifically one area then? If you hear that you may be lacking in one area, do you specifically train only that area? Or, like, what is your game plan going into fights?
When we go into fights, we usually go off of kind of the opponent. If we hear that what their weak thing is, and we'll start focusing a little bit more on that. But we still focus a lot on just the well-rounded, be well on the feet and on the ground.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you then? Do you have any upcoming fights, any upcoming things for you?
Yeah, actually, I fight February 1st against Jordan Gaza here in Tulsa at the Hard Rock.
How do you feel going into it?
I feel good. I mean, this is actually a really good camp that we put together. And I'm doing a lot of choose the ground girl. So we were focusing on, I want to keep it on my feet because she comes in and just goes straight kind of for a takedown. So we've been working on defending our takedowns. And my weight cut has been really well on this one. Been trying some new diets, so I'm already cutting down really good. So I feel great and feel strong.
So if it does get taken to the ground, you have enough confidence to feel like you'll be able to take care of it and turn on the kill switch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a full confidence in our ground game. It's just I didn't really have to use it. And so in my first 2 pro fights, I finished in the first round. It was actually the same girl both times. And I haven't really had to use a lot of my ground game. But I have full confidence in it.
So then, what would you say is your favorite fight style then?
My favorite is I like to stand. That's my favorite. I like to stand, but as of right now, I guess the more I get into it, I might start liking the ground a little more. But right now, I'd rather just stand.
So on that, with being how you prefer stand-up and stuff, what, I mean, your first 2, you know, like Caitlin was saying earlier, your first two pro fights have both come on the ground by submission. So, I mean, like, how much of a background do you have in the ground game and, like, jiu-jitsu and stuff? How long have you trained in that stuff?
I've only been training all around for a year and a half. I didn't even start anything. Like, when I first started, I just first started to get in shape. That was my biggest thing, is that I wanted to get in shape, wanted to be able to do things. And then, like, That's when I had no rhythm. I had nothing. I punched myself in the face when I first started. So I've only been doing this for a year and a half.
Right on. And I guess my next question would be kind of from that. You've only been doing this all together a year and a half. How'd you get into it, you know? What sparked your interest in fighting? What caused you to kind of make that decision? Because that's a big decision in your mind, in your heart, for somebody to say, you know what, I want to do this. This is, I'm going to get in a cage and I'm going to fight somebody. So kind of how'd you get into that?
When I started getting good with my hands and stuff, then we started, you know, kind of practicing on the ground. And then my coach is actually my husband, so he kind of helped me get into it and everything. And he told me it would be hard. He always tells me fighting sucks. Getting ready for it. That's basically, I wanted to see what I could do. And then my first AMI fight was on an all-women's card in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And we were actually the very first fight. And we walked in there, and I thought I was going to die. I was so nervous. I literally almost started crying. There was probably tears. But that's what got me into it. I got in there, and I got in there, and I ended up TKOing her in the third round. And then I thought to myself, I can do this. And then it just went from there.
Went from there and TKO'd your next four opponents and then submitted your next couple opponents. And so far it's working out pretty darn good for you.
Yeah.
I'd say Kill Switch is the accurate nickname for you there.
So if I may ask, I see you said you had 6 amateur fights, yeah?
Oh, one was a boxing match. My very first one was a boxing match. It was just a little smoker boxing match thing.
Oh, okay. So what made you do the jump from amateur to pro in such a short time?
Actually, I went from amateur to pro because they were having problems kind of finding me an opponent that wanted to fight a 5-0 girl. So we just, you know, we talked about it, and then we decided that it was time to, we could go ahead and step up.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of fighters have a lot of difficulty trying to find opponents. Do you think, especially being a female, that it's harder to find an opponent than maybe a male has?
Yeah, it actually is, because there's so many different levels that, you know, they don't want to fight somebody that's been doing it for any longer than, you know, a couple months, or they don't want to give you somebody that's been doing it for years and you've only done it for, you know, a year. So it is really hard for them to find opponents for females.
Mm-hmm. So I guess going off of that, are you open to fight anybody anytime by, I guess, how many years they've been training, how good they are, how good their record is, what their bio says about them? Does any of that come into play when you see who your opponent is?
No, actually, I would rather fight the more experienced, because it kind of shows you where you are. To me,
mm-hmm.
that's the way I look at it. Like, I would love to fight somebody that was ranked to see where I am, because I have full confidence in my training, you know, and everything like that. So, and then if I jumped in there and I did well, you know, that would just show that I deserve to be on a bigger show. But if I didn't, it would be going back to the drawing board to start figuring out what I'm lacking, where I need work more, you know.
Yeah. So then how far do you want this sport to take you? I mean, is this something you're extremely serious about? You want to make a career? Where does this sport stand with you?
I'm going to make this a career. I'm actually very serious about it. I think it was my second fight, I'm already with a strength coach. I do 3 to 4 hours a day of training, and even as an AMI, I train like that. So I would love for it to go on. I would love to go to Invicta and just keep going you know, if UFC opens up for 115ers, I'd love to go there.
So it sounds like you pretty much fell in love with the sport the second you tried it out. What was it about this that made you just fall in love with the sport?
I think the biggest thing that I really love about it is the fact that you're, like, you can push yourself, you're in shape, and I just love to work out. Like, I love the cardio part and to see where I am, how far you can push yourself and just stuff like that.
You know, Katina, as I look more and more at your record here, I was looking over it, you know, for a little while here before the show, familiarizing myself with it. As I look at the dates here, you've got three fights within a month and a half of each other where you went out, you won by a second-round TKO, first-round TKO, second-round TKO. I mean, two of those fights are, you know, 3 weeks apart. You know, what's that like? Having a very compressed fight camp, you know, you get ready for one fight and then boom, you got to turn around and just not much time for time off. It's, you know, a couple weeks and you're back fighting against somebody else. And obviously, I mean, it's looking from the record here, it would look like, you know, wow, she handled that great. You know, she went out, boom, 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 TKO, TKO, TKO. But I know that's got to be a lot of mental preparation, probably even more than the physical preparation, because just coming out of one fight and going into another one just a few weeks later, physically you're probably still in great shape. You know, you got still on top physically, but mentally you got to say, okay, I just finished Taylor Angle, and now I have to get focused on this next girl, and then boom, this next girl after that. So what's that like mentally to prepare for so many fights in a short amount of time?
I don't think I really thought about it, to tell you the truth. That, like, I just knew that because we had Taylor,
turned on the kill switch.
Yeah,
just went out and turned on the kill switch.
Because we had already knew about the next fight after Taylor, so I was already prepared to go from one to the other. So that one wasn't bad at all. Like, I was already ready, and then. And then they came and presented Katie to us, and on that one, I was ready to defend my title by then, because I had won the with Taylor Angle, I had won the Emmy 125 championship through XFN, so I was ready to defend it just to see. I was still on my happy I won a championship mode, I think.
Get in, do your damage, get out, and go home for the night. So just before we came on with you, I was kind of talking a little bit about women's MMA and kind of about what's going on with women's MMA and the changes going on. And I made a statement which kind of, I think, confused my co-host here, but my statement was the fact that I think that women's MMA is still in its infancy, and I say that with the meaning behind it being that the capabilities and the limits for women's MMA are so remarkably high that I think that with all the success women's MMA has seen so far, there is still very much more success that it can achieve. And as a female fighter, who I'm also sure is a huge fan of the sport, I think it's probably impossible for somebody to be a fighter and not be a fan of this sport. So to be a fighter, you're a few fights into a pro record, the sky's the limit for you. You know, you're going to have a lot of success over the years and however long you choose to stay in the game. You know, what's it like for you to kind of see the changes and the advances and evolution of women's MMA?
Yeah, I actually think it's pretty awesome to see that UFC has actually came around, and then even before that, Invicta had started their off, you know, because before, even a year and a half ago when I started, you didn't see very many. I mean, you didn't really, first cards, you'd never see a woman fight at all, you know, and now you're starting to see them a lot more. We're starting to get recognized a lot more. We're starting to get to be on more shows, getting better pay as pros and things like that. So I think it'll be, we still haven't, I don't think, hit our limit, because, you know, there's only one weight class that's in the UFC right now, and there's how many more, you know, there's like three more, four more weight classes that they still haven't introduced, and I think eventually they will. It's just going to take time, you know. So with Invicta opening it up, I think that was the best thing for women, is that we're actually getting to show that we do fight just like the guys. There are going to be really good fights, and we're more technical than guys. We don't get out there and just brawl, because we show our technicality, because we're not as strong as a man. So.
So that's an extremely interesting way to look at it, showing that you guys are a lot more technical than a male fighter. Do you think the caliber of women's detail and technicality from when they first start off is similar to a male fighter a couple years after fighting, or how long do you think it takes a male fighter to come into that detail and technicality compared to a woman?
I think it does take a couple of years for a guy to get out of that brawl mode and get into technicality. And a woman, we come out that way, because, you know, we don't come out just brawling. We have to use our technicality on everything we do when it comes to the cage. And that's one of the big things that our coach always tells us in the gym, is you can tell a lot about a gym and how they train and everything through their female fighters, because the female fighters are going to show the technicality of the gym. When a guy will get out there and, you know, they get mad and they just start swinging, they're just going to brawl you. So you don't get to see all their technicality until they're further into their career, where they start focusing and calming down and getting their head right when they get into the cage, and not getting mad and just, you know, showing their technicality when we just walk out and that's all you see is our technicality.
So would you say a male in the cage acts a lot more instinctually than a female in the cage?
I would say they do, yes.
So when you are in the middle of a fight, what goes through your head? I mean, do you think about what you're going to do next? Do you think about, you know, the next two rounds? What goes through your head?
When I'm fighting in a cage, I mostly listen. Like, you know, there's a huge crowd, but the only voice I hear is my coach's voice. That's like, and I zone out, and that's what I listen for him to tell me what I'm not seeing, and I try to focus on, I do try to focus on what's coming next, because you do have to be a couple steps ahead in this while you're fighting, because if you're not, then you're just in the moment, and you'll miss a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I before we got a few minutes left with you here, before we start to wrap up, let you give your shout-outs and stuff, I want to say I don't think I could agree more with what you said about the technique and how the male fighters come in and they kind of have instinct. They follow instinct, and I think a lot of them are in that brawl mentality where they want to get in there and they want to brawl. I think a man's first instinct is, let me prove I'm better than this guy by knocking him out. Whereas, like you said, you know, women, I think, focus more on technique, which I think makes women's MMA kind of takes it to a whole nother level. You know, the gym, I'm not a fighter, not training to be a fighter, but I train alongside a bunch of fighters at a local gym here, and I'm trying to learn, like, jiu-jitsu and just kind of submission grappling. And the thing that we're taught, number one, above everything else, above winning or losing, is technique. You know, it's the key essential to being a successful martial artist, whether you're going to step in the cage and fight, whether you're just going to compete in tournaments, or whether you just want to kind of, like, teach yourself martial arts, you know, just for the purpose of understanding it, you know. And technique is the number one thing. So I think that was very well said by yourself. I couldn't agree more that it kind of puts, I don't know how to word this, it kind of puts women's MMA, it kind of opens up a whole new level for MMA to get to, and that's being led by the women, the female fighters, because the female fighters are doing a lot more in technique. And there's some very technical male fighters out there, not to say that male fighters don't have technique. All the best fighters have a very good technique, but I just want to say I agreed wholeheartedly with what you said about the technique comment, but I know I kind of like I tend to go long-winded and kind of talk forever and forget that I'm talking to somebody else. I could probably have a show where I'm just talking to myself, but
that's not.
Nobody would want to listen. Nobody would want to listen to that. I don't think so. Before we run out of time, Christine, I want to give you time to give your shout-outs and do you know sponsors, your gym, team, everything like that. So why don't you go ahead and give a shout-out to everybody you want.
Okay, I want to give a shout-out to my coach, Scott Lowe from Battleground MMA, all my teammates from Battleground, my sponsors, Dreamcatcher Sports, Kenyatta Wright, my strength coach, Greg Richmond, my sponsors, I just picked up Hustle and Outlaw Fight Gear, my manager, Brett Atchley from Addison, and MMA Armor. My friends and family and fans.
Oh, I want to say, give a shout out to Brawl Base for hooking this interview up for us tonight. It was a fun interview. I had a good time talking with you.
Cool.
Can't resist an interview with somebody named Kill Switch. So definitely learn a well deserved nickname. I think you're gonna have an awesome career, and I look forward to seeing some stuff from you. Looking to see you maybe on an Invicta card very soon, and who knows, man, fighting in the women's UFC one day, so it'd be great to see. So it was great talk with you tonight, Kathina. I hope you have a good night, and take care. We'll be following you and paying attention to your career very closely.
All right, thank you, and I'm anytime. And good night to you guys, too.
All right, yeah, have a good night, all right?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what she said about technique, I'm a big believer in that. That's something that Daniel preaches at Gator quite a bit. Is just the technique, and that'll take your game to a whole new level. You know, whether you go out and whether you win or lose, as long as your technique is right, it's going to be hard for you to lose. You know, the more technical fighters, I think, are the better fighters, and especially if a fight goes to the ground. You know, if you're in a fight, you go to the ground, the guy with the better technique is going to win. I mean, I'd find it very hard to believe.
You have to get lucky somehow, otherwise.
Yeah. I'm psyched right now. We got about a half hour left on the show, and I got Bellator on in the background, and the main event's about to go live here with Carl Almasu and Ben Askren. It's going to be an exciting fight. I actually met Carl Almasu at Bellator 72 when they were here in Tampa, and he was a cool dude. I know a few of our Madhouse guys have been lighting up Facebook about him all day, and they're excited about this fight. So while we were talking with Kathina, the King Mo fight was on. King Mo versus I'm not even going to try and pronounce the guy's name, but King Mo knocked him out cold. It was a beautiful knockout. I do not like King Mo, but it was a beautiful knockout. Can't deny that. But this main event's going to be awesome. I won't interrupt our last interview tonight, but as soon as I get a chance to say how that fight went, we'll announce that main event here. But Carl's actually walking to the cage right now. That's Carl Almasu, not Carl Mortensen. Carl Mortensen, I believe, is fighting next weekend. So everybody check that out. The Madman is going to step in the cage and at the main event for MFC 38, I think.
The next one will be MFC 36, and unfortunately I won't be there. Sorry. We will have a team there, though. We always do.
He's fighting at MFC 40, Carl the Madman Mortensen. Check it out. Actually, on the real, we do have a couple Madhouse fighters fighting this weekend. I believe Donald Pierce is fighting. I want to say Donald got a title fight. I think he's got in a title fight this weekend.
Oh, and, yeah, I saw that.
Chris Gregory's fighting this weekend also. Chris has been training long and hard. I'm sure they both have. Chris is just more of more vocal on it about Facebook, so it's easier to follow what he's doing because he's usually putting things on Facebook, you know, all the time. But so good luck to both of those guys this weekend. Our Madhouse family, we always like to see them have success. I can't believe I haven't talked about how the Gator guys did this weekend yet. But four Gator guys fought this weekend and they went 1-2-1. Dean Stupar fought to a draw, which kind of hard to swallow that draw because it definitely looked like he won the fight. He had three or four huge takedowns and constant groundwork. So that was a great fight, though. Curtis Burt and Jeremy Christensen both fought very close fights, and they lost them via unanimous decisions. It was great fights, as we were talking about with Ralph. Curtis and his opponent were just banging away. Curtis was throwing vicious punches in the first, and then most of the second and throughout the third, his opponent, Anthony Laprenzi, was throwing a lot of knees to the body, which I'm pretty I think is what won him the fight. I have really, you know, Curtis is a teammate of mine, but I have, you know, Laprenzi did win that fight. He threw a lot of knees, but it was a great fight, no doubt about that. Same with Jeremy Christensen. It was his debut. I know he's been training a lot of very late nights up until like 2 or 3 in the morning up at Gator with Coach Otis. You know, everyone else is at home in bed, and Coach Otis and another guy up there, Sam, they've been up there 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning helping Jeremy train. So it was a great debut for him. And then, last but not least, the champion, Abby Velasquez, went out and got a very close fight. I want to say that was a split decision victory. I know it was a decision. I'm pretty sure it was split. Give me 2 seconds and I'll have it here in front of me. It was a split decision for the 125-pound, the flyweight belt for the WCFL. It was a great fight. Honestly thought Abby won it via unanimous decision but that was a very close, very good fight. But it was a great weekend, you know. When you walk away with four of your guys on a fight card, and to say not one of them was finished, they all took it to a decision. It shows that the competition was very high at the fight card. It shows that the promoters put together a great fight card. They did a great job picking fighters and getting fighters to fight. So, it takes Gator MMA to 13-4-1 in MMA competition. This fight's underway behind us. I'm gonna try and stay focused, but this Carl Amasu and Ben Askren are going at it right now. First round just started. They're doing obviously a 5-round fight because it's a title fight, but I think Carl's probably gonna finish this fight a lot sooner than 5 rounds. So we'll see. But so it was a great weekend for Gator out at the WCFL, and we're actually gonna jump on here in a few minutes. The next few minutes, next 5 or so minutes, we're gonna jump on the phone with James Garza, who fights out of Alliance Lakeland. I've seen him at a couple fights, and I actually got the chance to talk to him at this last one. And I said, hey, man, let's hook up. Let's set up a time. And he was ready right away, so we're going to get him on here tonight and talk with him. He's an exciting young guy. He's an amateur fighter with, a 3-1 record now. And it should be a good interview. We'll talk with him for about 15 or 20 minutes until we close out the show. And we'll go from there. We'll do some promos while we have the time right now. I do want to say, Caitlin, thanks for taking the time. You know, two hours is a big chunk of time, you know, to kind of have to plan into your day last minute. So I do appreciate you being able to jump on here with me tonight, as my co-host Jason had some work stuff come up. So it is fun every now and then to go back to the old school days and joke around and have some fun with you. But
those old days, huh? Those are a long time ago.
don't for a second think I don't respect you. I got a lot of respect for what you for your input on the MMA scene and up there in Oregon, and I know that you're kind of all over the place there and still, you know, just about to finish high school, and yet you've got a lot of great connections up there. So you are a force to be reckoned with in the state of Oregon, Caitlin.
That is right. I need to get a business card that says that, or like some kind of hoodie. Says that on the back, little force to be reckoned with.
What you should do is remember at what time in the show I said that. Copy, paste that everywhere you have it so that you do have some blackmail against me that I did give you credit.
Sure, what is it? We have 27 minutes left. I'll have to document this.
You should not lose this because it's probably a monumentous occasion right now.
I know. This is the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Actually, before we jump in with James, I do want to ask you about the Sea Monster. I know you got like firsthand knowledge on him. You guys are close friends.
Yeah, actually, I saw him on Monday.
How is Sea Monster doing? I know that some great things have been happening for him lately with doctors clearing him to start walking and doing some big-time rehabilitation. So how is the Sea Monster doing?
He's doing absolutely great, honestly. I went shopping with him on Monday. He got some sweet new clothes. He looks like he's ready to go. He's ready to get back to training. He's walking. Moving fast. He can't quite run yet. He can't put full force on it or like train really hard or anything, but he's more mobile than he was before. And as far as like a future surgery, talking with like his family and him, as far as I know, they've said that they're going to hold off on it it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of those things where he's injured now, but it's not something they need to jump on, but it may be a surgery he'll have to get in the future on his elbow. So I think it'll be one of those, like, in the long run sort of things. But as far as everything else, he's doing good.
He's one of the most exciting fighters I'm looking forward to seeing back in the cage in 2013.
Oh, I know. Me too.
I love the sea monster. So it's good to hear, man. Give him my best wishes. And with that, we're going to go ahead and jump right in with James Garza, the guy, Mr. It's Over 9,000, showing up to the fights in his Dragon Ball Z shirts. That's what the first time I saw him, he walked, I said, man, that's such a sick shirt, and introduced myself, and from there I was like, I'm a fan of this guy, and then goes out and impresses me with two submission victories. So, James Garza, how you doing this evening, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, and yourself?
Doing
how y'all
great,
doing
man.
Today?
Doing awesome. Glad that you could be on with us tonight. So, my my normal host is out for the night. My co-host here is on the other side of the country, and for some people who... other people that maybe are listening from around the way that maybe not familiar with James Garza quite yet because you haven't taken over MMA yet, but that is coming. Why don't you go ahead, give a promo into James Garza, how you got into the fight game, where you train out of, and what's your current record?
Well, the whole reason I had got into it was because, I was planning on fighting somebody, and the best way to do it, they trained. And so I started training. But me and the dude got over it. We're cool now, and brought the respect of martial arts into it. I figured out it wasn't all just about fighting, it was about respect. But I train out of Alliance Lakeland, which is high performance MMA. And I've been training for a year and a half now. So.
Right on, man.
So,
well, what, and you're 3-1 now, right? That is true.
Correct. Yeah, I'm 3-1, and all three of my victories have come by submission.
Right on. What did that, if you don't mind me asking, how did that one loss come?
By decision. It was a three-round fight, and I took the fight off a week notice, but it was just a war. It was a good fight, and it could have went either way, and the judges went the other way, so I'm not mad about it. I had my head held high the whole time.
Right on. That was
when you lost like that, real. You can go, Matt. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was just gonna say, just confirm that loss. That was you took that on a weak loss. That was at the Highlander Battle of Tampa card, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know, just kind of for personal curiosity. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Oh, okay. I always ask fighters this when they have one loss and it's by decision. Some fighters take it really hard and others take it with their head held high, like you said. Is it harder to lose by decision than to lose any other way?
You know what? Sometimes it is because you're like, man, if I would have did something different, like just one little thing, I could have won. And, if you get submitted or something, you're like, oh, well, at least he had better jiu-jitsu than me. There's always that falls in place.
So after the decision, do you know what to train on, or do you feel like you lack in any areas? I mean, how did you feel coming out of that decision?
It's a learning experience. After every fight, I see what I did wrong. I'm like, oh, okay, I need to improve on this, and that. So even with these recent two wins, I've seen the mistakes I've made, and I go into training and work on those mistakes that I made.
Yeah. So going into your next fight, what specifically are you training on, or what are some areas that you want to work on to improve?
Mainly I just want to focus on my conditioning because if I can go into a fight conditioned at peak, I feel it'll just be a great fight because I train my stand up and I train my ground game, and I just try to keep them both equally the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I feel that the conditioning would be the most best thing.
So, James, have you been given any sort of a nickname, any kind of fight name yet, or is that something that's still kind of like up in the air? Are you open to suggestions?
You know what? When I was there, Ralph was talking about Garzilla.
Garzilla, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
I was thinking Super Saiyan. That sounded pretty awesome.
You know what? I thought so, too. That's the same thing I said. I was like, oh, yeah, because every time I go to a fight, I flip that switch and go Kaioken. You already know it.
I love it. I love it. I swear, man, but that's like you show up with your focused look on your face. You got freaking the Super Saiyan on the T-shirt ready to go, man. I'm like, man, this guy means business showing up with Dragon Ball Z. Like, that's just like.
Yeah.
Didn't that show go off air, like, 8 years ago or something like that?
Hey, Dragon Ball Z has never ended, all right?
Okay. Now they're just reruns, huh?
Dragon Ball Z,
right there.
I was watching Dragon Ball Z, Caitlin, when you were watching Care Bears, so I don't expect you to understand.
Oh, okay. I'll try and believe that's true.
So, James, have you done, like, any competitions? I know a lot of the guys, I see a lot of the amateur fighters, especially in this area. You know, the Florida area is kind of where I know most of the amateur guys. A lot of them do Nagas, Copas, the different grappling tournaments leading up to MMA or, like, in between fights to kind of keep themselves conditioned. Do you do anything like that to help you during fights, or did you do that before you started doing MMA?
Before I did do MMA, I did one Copa. I think that's the only time I ever competed in jiu-jitsu, and that was the only thing I ever did. I would like to do more competitions. I can never find the time to I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna train just steady jiu-jitsu. You know, I'm always trying to get ready for the next fight or my stand up and everything.
Yeah. And now, is there a next fight on the horizon for you? Are you thinking about trying to get on that WCFL 3 card?
Yeah, I'm most definitely trying to get on that WCFL 3 card. And
they put on some awesome fights. Two events so far, and two amazing event cards. So
yeah, I was impressed by how good it was. They kept it very professional. Even in the back, you know, maybe that was like one thing, but. That was all. It was very professional for an amateur fight.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So. Are you just out of curiosity? Are you watching Bellator right now?
Oh no, I'm not.
You missed it, man.
Actually, no, what?
Go ahead.
No,
I was gonna say it's been an awesome fight, awesome night, and this main event. I'm like, I'm multitasking here. I'm doing a few things at once, but. It's a great fight right now that's going on, and I was just curious. But, yeah, man, as a fan of MMA, you know, as somebody who's obviously a fighter and you just spend a lot of your time training and a lot of time focusing on your own fights, how often do you get to sit back and kind of relax and watch some MMA?
You know, there is times where I do take a break and when I'm unable to train. And the only time I have ever gone to another fight is if a teammate is fighting. You know, I've only been to maybe one other fight where I haven't fought, where if I'm unable to make it, you know, then so I do wish that I could just watch more, but I'm trying to get these amateurs out the way.
Right on. Now, you're at 3-1 now, and if you're on that WCFL card, that'll be your fifth fight. Are you looking to jump pro right after that fifth one?
Yeah, no, I'm still trying to get more experience down because I heard your last interview with Katina Catron that she's only been training a year and a half and is already 2-0 pro. I thought that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 6-0 as an amateur and 2-0 as a pro. So yeah, I mean that's crazy. And like I was saying to her, like three of those fights are within a month of each other too. So
yeah,
that's crazy. No, that's no wonder her nickname is Kill Switch.
Yeah, I seen that because she flips the switch and kills them. That's why.
See, I told you, Matt.
I'm joking. I was listening to that part. That's why I said it.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case,
cool,
you're my favorite guest
cool,
tonight.
It's not cool, James. It's not cool at all.
Yeah.
So then, how early would you consider going pro after hearing other people going pro so early to you?
I'm hoping late this year, somewhere in there, because I still want to get at least 7 amateur fights just to get the experience, because it's better to take a loss as an amateur than to take it as a pro. And if I can find out everything that I'm doing wrong as an amateur, then that means I can only do them right as a pro.
Yeah, absolutely. So after amateur, I mean, do you have hopes of going pro? Well, obviously you do. After going pro, though, how far do you want this to take you?
For now, I just want to take it step by step. And if I can get this amateur fights out the way and then go pro, go get a title pro, and then keep going further and further. That's the way I want to do it. And yeah, I want to go as far as my skill level can take me.
Yeah.
Well, with Super Saiyan always being a possibility, man, as long as you gather the Dragon Balls, you can go as far as you want to go.
You already know, but I don't gotta make a wish. I just gotta get in training and train hard.
Hey, there you go, man. There you go. Now, what would you? You know, we talked with Mike Rio earlier in the night, a guy who's on the Ultimate Fighter just last year, Ultimate Fighter 16. Is that something that you'd be interested in doing? Maybe as you got some pro fights under your record, if the Ultimate Fighter became a possibility, would it be something that you'd want to do?
Oh yeah, that would be like the main goal right there, to try to get on to the UFC. You know, that's why I said I want to take it step by step, climb the ladder until I reach that level.
Yeah,
because that is something I would want to do.
Right on, man. And what's your favorite aspect of the fight game? You know, what do you? Obviously, you got three wins by a submission. So I would assume from that you do love submissions. But that's not always the case. That's just sometimes a well trained fighter gets in the cage and they take what's available. So if that's available, you're going to take it. But maybe you like to stand up more. So I mean, what's your favorite aspect of the fight game?
See, in these three past fights, I've been wanting to come out and just stand and bang with these guys, and they keep going for the takedown, and that's the way these three submissions, my three victories, have all come off my back when they tried to take me down, or they successfully take me down, and I've gotten a triangle, the knee bar, and then the arm bar this time.
Wicked knee bar too. Wicked knee bar. He didn't want to tap out either.
He wasn't. He wasn't going to tap. I knew it. I when I had the standing rear naked choke, I knew he wasn't going to tap. My arm was going to give out before he was going to tap.
Yeah, I've seen him fight a couple times. He's a real good fighter, but it's unfortunate, in that situation, if a guy doesn't tap, you have to, you've got a job to do, and obviously, you don't want. You're looking to win a fight, and if you have to break something, you have to break it. And unfortunately, his knee—I don't know if his knee got broken, but his knee definitely got hyperextended and possibly even dislocated. But it was a sick submission. I mean, if he doesn't tap out, you got to do what you got to do.
I felt it as soon as I pulled it. I felt it just. It was a pretty nasty feeling, which I'm guessing it might have just popped, because he was supposed to fight on this card too.
Yeah, and he was there. He came out. They brought him into the cage there during the intermission. So it looked like he's doing all right, which is cool. I know that he's set to fight at the WCFL 3 event. So it does look like possibly maybe just dislocated, nothing too serious. But it was a great submission. And if a guy, Frank Mir, obviously I don't think Frank Mir wanted to break Nogueira's arm, but, he had to do what he's got to. You got to do what you got to do to win the fight, And you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You executed a beautiful submission. And you did what you had to win the fight. And makes you kind of an exciting fighter, exciting young fighter who it's been awesome to see you fight a couple times. And if you're on that WCFL 3 card, I'll be there because the WCFL guys, I've got a good relationship with them. But before we start to wrap up with you, man, why don't you go ahead and give any shout-outs you have, any thank yous or any sponsors?
Well, I'd like to thank my coach, Master David Hurley from Alliance Jiu-Jitsu Lakeland, my boxing and strength conditioning coach, Shannon King, I also want to give a shout-out to my wife and Daisy, because she's been supporting me so much, and I know David Needmore was talking about how the wives and girlfriends of fighters have the hardest job, and you know what, it really is true. So I want to say thank you to her and happy birthday, happy late birthday, my sister. And, and anybody that wants to sponsor me, you're more than welcome to. So.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah, the Super Saiyan. And you know what? for the WCSL3, I think I'm more than ready for that 155 title. So I just had to put
that out
there.
Calling it out. Calling it out right here and now, man. Way to go. Go get you that title. Are you on Twitter or Facebook? I know you're on Facebook at James Garza, but are you on Twitter at all?
Yeah, I have a Twitter. It's Youngin Got Paper. So Youngin Got Paper. Yeah.
Explain that one.
Well, back in the days, you know. We'll just leave it at that.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
All right, there. All right, Ninja Garza.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's is it Ninja Garza? No, it is Youngin Got Paper.
It is. So, no, it's Youngin Got Paper, and then it's Ninja Garza. So.
Yeah.
And there you go, man. The Super Saiyan, you're already a ninja, so.
Yeah. So, hey, and thanks for having me on the show, too.
Yeah, you got it, man. Well, take care, James. We'll be in touch. I'll be following you and what you got going on down here because I'm all over Florida MMA. So take it easy, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, you too, and have a good one.
All right, man, you too. Hey, Madman, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask him if he was on Pinterest, but somehow I don't think that the normal people use Pinterest. I think that's just my buddy Jason that's all about Pinterest.
I didn't know guys use Pinterest.
Last week we were letting one of our interviews give shout-outs. Oh, they're waving this fight off right now. Amasu's eye is completely closed up. Their referee stoppage in the middle of the third round. The third round just ended with Carl Amasu and Ben Askren, and Amasu's face is almost completely closed up. It was a bloody mess all over the cage, and Ben Askren looks almost untouched. So it's going to be a fairly easy win for Ben Askren to retain his title. So I'm watching that in the background there, but Amasu had a beautiful ankle lock in there for a minute, and it looked like he might have had it tight, but Askren got out of it, and Askren just rained three rounds full of ground and pound and punches down on Amasu. So that's a good referee stoppage in my opinion, because I don't think Amasu should have continued on with the fight. But last week we were letting one of our interviews give a shout out to everyone, and for whatever reason, Jason's like, you know, where can people find you? On Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest? And I kind of laughed. I muted my thing and I laughed because I didn't want to, like, you know, I don't know, maybe the guy is on Twitter, on Pinterest, you know. But like 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, I don't know, Carl wasn't with us at the time because he was leaving work or whatever. He messaged me or both of us, I think, and he said, you know, props to the shout-out for Pinterest or whatever. And I just, it was so funny. I ragged on Jason the rest of the night. I do got to give a shout-out to Jason. You know, missed you tonight, buddy. I didn't want to do any two-part questions. I wanted to leave those for you because you're the master of the two-part questions. So be looking forward to having my partner here back next week. I had a great time with you, Kaylin. You tend to do pretty well.
Oh, thank you. So. I try. I try to be good for you tonight. I try to behave.
What do you got going on? You know, where you got any events coming up? Anything you're going to be out covering anytime soon?
Actually, yes, I do. Next weekend, I believe February 2nd is the Saturday or February 1st. I'm going out to cover FAMA, the Fisticuffs Amateur MMA. They have a show going on up in Vancouver, Washington, and I've only been to, I think I want to say I've been to two of their shows, but they always put on such a good production, and, of course, everybody knows from Cage Fire Radio, Leonard at the end of the show that does the recap. He is at FAMA, so, yeah, definitely everybody should go attend it. It's also, because it's in Washington, you get fighters of all age ranges, and that's one of the reasons I love covering shows in Washington because, you know, they're 16 all the way up through whatever age limit, but rather than in Oregon, you only have 18 and up. So I really appreciate going and watching the younger fighters go at it because some of the best fights are by younger fighters.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, what's the I know one of the bigger fight cards up there in that area is the Rumble at the Roseland. They got anything coming up soon? Or I know they just recently have one or.
They just had one this past weekend, and I was out of town for that, but they have a show monthly, or almost, yeah, about monthly or every couple weeks or so, and so I will most definitely be at the next one, but they always put on such a good production. I'm always so happy when I go to the shows. Kevin Keeney, he throws on such a good, he always matches up some of the best fights. Some of the best fights I've ever seen are definitely on those cards. They have such a good production. If you haven't seen one of their shows, you absolutely need to go. It's so worth the money. It's worth sitting there with so many people. They always sell out their show. It's so crowded, but it's totally worth it.
They usually have a lot of fights too, huh? I know they tend to put on big fight cards.
I don't know. The fight cards I've been to usually range between like 13 and 17, I want to say, or like 11 and 17-ish. So
I figure the UFC puts on like a 10-fight fight card, you know, when they have like one of their pay-per-views or any of their events. Bellator even, I think Bellator's fight card, that just this one that's ending right now, I want to say the main fight card was 4 fights, but the overall fight card was like 8 to 10 fights. So 13 to 17 is a lot of fights. So
yeah, I don't know. Whenever people say big fight cards, I think of that, like those two shows that I went to that were about 20 fights, and I'm like, holy cow, those just dragged on and on and on and on. Yeah, you know, they were good fights, but you just notice, like, have you ever noticed towards the end of the fight, like, the card within the last 3 or 4 fights, it just, the place just starts to clear out? Have you ever noticed that?
A little bit, but typically from what I've seen, they tend to fill up because, you know, I go, the majority of the shows I've been to have been amateur cards. I think I've been to, this last one was my 9th or my 10th. I've been, and I think 4 of those were pro, and the rest have all been AMI. With the AMI ones, you know, like with Bellator, Bellator is an international, you know, they're world known. They travel all over the U.S. and stuff putting on fights. So you don't tend to have any friends or family there. You do
mm-hmm.
for some of the early fights on those cards that are regional fights, but when you go to, like, these amateur events, for the most part, you know, down here, now some of these amateur events have guys coming from a few states away, but you, like this with the last one, there was 13 fights, 26, so 26 fighters. The majority of those fighters were from somewhere throughout Florida, so you see a lot of family and friends that are out at these shows. So I know for the main event with David Mundell and Tony Murphy at WCFL on Saturday, it was still quite packed. I mean, the place was jammed, and there was a pretty big uproar at the end when that fight ended. Actually, some bad stuff went down outside, but that's just bad for the sport. But that's neither here nor there. It was a great night of fights. Both guys had a lot of respect for each other, and
yeah,
you tend to see that a lot, you know. I don't want to talk too much and run over here. We're running out of time. I want to give shout-outs to our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, GatorMMA.com, and just go check out GatorMMA. You can check them out on Facebook or check them out at the website. Hit up Daniel Blevins. Want to say for the most up-to-date news on Ethan Lionheart Blevins, you can follow me or follow MMA Madhouse. Anything that I got going on, I go right through MMA Madhouse. It's not, you know, this, what I'm doing for the MMA Madhouse isn't about me. It's about the collective. It's about what we're doing here as a website, and what we're trying to do is be the absolute best in the business when it comes to supporting local MMA, and I think we're doing a darn good job at that. So check out MMAMadhouse.com. Follow MMA Madhouse on Facebook. Follow Full Guard Fight Radio on Facebook, and keep up to date with what we got going on between me and Jason. I'm on there a lot. I'm a bit of a hound when it comes to the social networking. I'm on Facebook and Twitter a lot. So whatever I got going on, whatever I got my hands in, and whatever MMA I'm following, if you follow MMA Madhouse, you'll know about it. So we just want to say again, thanks, Caitlin, for being with me tonight. We're looking forward to having Jason back next week. Contact me within this next week. Next week I want to do a Kids of MMA TV show. Kids of MMA radio show next week. And we're looking forward to contacting some people. Want to kind of talk with Kids of MMA, talk with future fighters, and talk with some guys and girls that are the future of the sport. So thank you, all of our guests, Rob Garcia, James Garza, Mike Rio, and Kathina Catron. Thanks for being with us tonight. Have a great week. We'll talk with you guys next week. Support local MMA, MMAMadhouse.com, number one in the business. Carl Madman, you are the man. See you guys next week.
people, time to disperse. Party's over.